This article is brought to you by the best-selling booksy Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to give constructive feedback without causing tension. A practical system for delivering feedback that lands without damaging trust. In short, after reading this, you will know how to give constructive feedback clearly and confidently without damaging the relationship or triggering defensiveness. Prepare specifically, know what you observed, what it affected, and what you want to change. Deliver directly, use clear, behavior-focused language in the right setting at the right time. Listen fully, give the other person space to respond, and treat the reaction as part of the process. Definition: constructive feedback is the practice of sharing specific, honest observations about a person's work or behavior in a way that is respectful, clear, and focused on improvement rather than criticism. It targets actions, not character, and gives the other person something concrete to act on. You sat across from someone who needed to hear something difficult. You said a softer version of it. They smiled, nodded, and left. Nothing changed. And 3 weeks later you were sitting in the same chair, dealing with the same problem, wondering why you were so reluctant to just say what you meant. Most people who struggle to give constructive feedback are not unkind or cowardly. They are unequipped. They know something needs to be said, but without a clear structure, the words come out wrong. They go too soft and the message is lost, or they go too hard and the relationship cracks. The fear of landing in either ditch keeps them quiet when they should be direct. In this guide, you will get a clear, practical process for giving constructive feedback that you can use immediately, in any workplace, with any person. If you want to understand how feedback functions within the broader picture of team communication first, how to give feedback that strengthens team synergy instead of breaking it is a strong place to begin. Why giving honest feedback is harder than most people admit. Knowing that feedback matters and actually delivering it well are two entirely different things. I have watched talented managers freeze up in one-to-one meetings because they knew what to say, but had no reliable system for saying it. That gap between knowing and doing is where most feedback falls apart. Here is what makes it genuinely difficult. Fear of the reaction. You do not know whether the person will become defensive, upset, or withdrawn. That uncertainty creates hesitation, and hesitation leads to softened messages that fail to land. No clear structure. Without a framework, feedback becomes improvised. Improvised feedback tends to wander, lose focus, and accidentally shift from the work to the person. Timing pressure. Feedback often needs to happen quickly, before the moment loses its relevance. But urgency and preparation rarely arrive together. Conflicting intentions. You want to be honest. You also want to protect the relationship. When those two goals feel like they're pulling in opposite directions, most people choose the relationship and sacrifice the honesty. Past attempts that went badly. If a previous feedback conversation damaged a relationship or ended in conflict, the memory of it shapes every attempt that follows. One bad experience can make a capable person hesitant for years. Vague observations. If you have not identified exactly what the person did and what it affected, you will not be able to articulate it clearly. Vagueness in your own thinking produces vagueness in your delivery. The goal is not to eliminate these difficulties. It is to build a system that works in spite of them. The foundation. What you need before you give constructive feedback. Before you begin, there are three things that need to be clear. Number one, a specific observation, not a feeling. You need to be able to name exactly what you saw or heard, not how it made you feel in the abstract. The report was late 3 times this month is a specific observation. I feel like you're not prioritizing your work is a feeling dressed up as feedback. One gives the other person something to act on, the other gives them something to argue about. Number two, the actual impact of the behavior. Before the conversation, connect the behavior to a real consequence for the team, the client, the project, or the working relationship. When you can name the impact clearly, the feedback moves from personal preference to professional reality. This is what gives your words weight. Number three, a clear intention for the conversation. Decide what you want to be different after this conversation ends. A specific, achievable change in behavior, not a vague improvement in attitude. If you do not know what success looks like before you begin, you will not be able to guide the conversation toward it. Get these right first. The steps that follow will not work without them. Step 1. Choose the right setting and time. Where and when you deliver feedback shapes how it is received before you say a single word. Feedback delivered publicly, even when gentle, feels like exposure. Feedback delivered at the end of a stressful day lands differently than feedback delivered when both of you are calm and focused. The setting is not a formality. It is part of the message. Request a private conversation, even for minor feedback. Do you have 15 minutes this afternoon? I want to talk through something with you. Choose a time when neither of you is rushed, distracted, or emotionally stretched. Pick a neutral space, not your office if that carries authority pressure, not a corridor where you may be interrupted. Give the other person enough notice to feel prepared, but not so much that they spend 2 days dreading it. Avoid delivering feedback immediately after an incident if either of you is still reactive. Example: a team member submitted a presentation that missed the client brief significantly. Rather than pulling them aside immediately after the meeting while frustration was still fresh, you send a short message. I'd like to catch up this afternoon for about 20 minutes to go over the presentation together. Are you free at 3? That single act of scheduling signals respect and gives you both time to prepare. When you sit down, the conversation starts on steadier ground. Once the setting is right, the feedback itself has a chance to be heard. Step 2. Open without ambiguity. The first 30 seconds of a feedback conversation set the entire tone for what follows. Many people open with so much softening that the other person does not realize feedback is coming at all. Others open so abruptly that the other person immediately becomes defensive. Neither serves you. What you need is an opening that is direct, respectful, and honest about the purpose of the conversation. State the purpose clearly at the start. I want to give you some feedback about the project timeline. I think it is important we talk through it. Do not begin with unrelated praise if it is not genuine. The other person will feel the contrast when the real topic arrives. Use calm, even language. Your tone carries more information than your words. Avoid softening phrases that undermine the message. This is probably nothing, but I might be wrong here. But keep the opening short, 2 or 3 sentences. Then move directly to the observation. The purpose of a clean opening is not to make the other person comfortable. It is to make the conversation honest from the first moment. That honesty is what earns their trust in the process. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblickthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Step 3. Describe the behavior, not the person. This is the heart of giving constructive feedback. Everything else is preparation and delivery. This is the substance. The difference between feedback that builds and feedback that damages usually comes down to one thing: are you describing what someone did, or are you describing who they are? The first is actionable. The second is an attack, even when it is not intended as one. Describe the specific behavior you observed, what was said, done, produced, or missed. Avoid character judgments, not you are careless, but the report contained 3 calculation errors. Use I observed or I noticed rather than you always or you never. Be specific about time and context. In last Tuesday's client call is more precise and less threatening than whenever you speak to clients. Keep your description brief, 1 or 2 sentences, then move to the impact. Example: instead of saying, you're not a strong communicator and it is affecting the team, you say, in the last 2 team meetings, you spoke over 2 colleagues before they had finished their points. I noticed both of them stopped contributing after that. The second version is specific, observable, and gives the person a precise behavior to reflect on. It is direct without being cruel. A clear behavioral description is what separates useful feedback from a personal verdict. Step 4. Name the impact clearly. Naming the impact is what transforms feedback from opinion into evidence. Without it, the other person has no reason to take the feedback seriously beyond your authority to give it. With it, they can see the real-world consequence of their actions, which creates a much stronger internal reason to change. Connect the behavior directly to its effect on the team, the client, the project, or the working relationship. Use concrete, observable consequences. The client pushed back the deadline because of the gap in the report carries more weight than it created a bad impression. Speak from what you observed, not from assumption about intent. The effect was that the team had to work late to cover the gap, not you clearly do not care about the team's time. Keep the impact statement neutral in tone. The facts carry the weight. You do not need to add emotion. If there are multiple impacts, name the most significant one. Do not list every consequence. That starts to feel like a prosecution. When the other person hears a specific impact described clearly, they're far more likely to engage constructively with the feedback. They can see the problem rather than simply feeling accused of having one. For a structured framework that pairs behavior and impact with precision, the SBI method is worth learning alongside this process. Step 5. Invite a response before you suggest a solution. Here is the mistake most people make after they have delivered the observation and impact. They immediately move to the solution. They have done the hard part, the discomfort of naming the problem, and they want to resolve it as quickly as possible. Resist that pull. The moment you name the impact, stop and listen. Ask an open question. How do you see it? Or what was happening for you in that situation? Wait for the full answer. Do not fill silence. Silence is the other person thinking. Listen without planning your response. Hear what they are actually saying, not what you expected them to say. Acknowledge the response before you add to it. I hear you. That context is useful. Only move to solutions after they have had the space to speak fully. Example: after describing a pattern of missed deadlines and their impact on the team schedule, you ask, I wanted to hear your perspective before we talk about what changes. What has been getting in the way? The team member explains that they have been waiting on sign-off from another department and did not want to escalate. You had no idea. The solution you had prepared, a time management conversation, was wrong. Listening first gave you the real information. Inviting a response is not a courtesy. It is how you get the full picture. And a solution built on the full picture is the only kind that actually holds. For building on this kind of feedback conversation within a broader development framework, the GROW method gives you a strong structure for turning the conversation into a practical improvement plan. Step 6. Agree on a specific path forward. A feedback conversation that ends without a clear, agreed next step is an incomplete one. Goodwill does not create change. Agreement creates the conditions for change. And agreement requires that both of you leave the conversation knowing exactly what is different going forward. Ask the other person what they think would help. What would make this easier for you going forward? Offer your own suggestion if they are uncertain, but frame it as an option, not a directive. Agree on something specific and measurable. From next week, can you send a progress update every Thursday? Rather than let us try to communicate better. Confirm the agreement aloud at the end of the conversation. So what we have agreed is, and repeat it back clearly. Set a brief follow-up or check-in in 2 weeks to see how the change is settling in. The follow-up is important. Without it, the conversation becomes a one-off event rather than part of a working relationship. Checking in a fortnight later is not surveillance. It is evidence that you meant what you said. Step 7. Close with respect and forward movement. How you end a feedback conversation matters as much as how you begin it. A conversation that ends awkwardly, abruptly, or with unresolved tension will define how the other person feels about the whole exchange, regardless of how well the middle went. A clean, respectful close signals that the relationship is intact and that you are looking forward, not back. Thank the person genuinely for engaging with the conversation. I appreciate you hearing me out on this. Restate your confidence in their ability to make the change. Keep it specific, not generic. Leave the door open without creating pressure. If anything comes up as you think about it, come and find me. Keep the tone consistent with how you opened: calm, direct, respectful. Do not add new feedback or observations at the close. If something else needs addressing, it deserves its own conversation. The way you close is what the other person carries with them. Make it something that builds rather than diminishes. Adapting this process for remote and hybrid teams. Giving feedback across distance requires careful adjustment. The absence of physical presence strips away the nonverbal cues that both parties rely on to retone and intention. Use video, not text. Written feedback, even when carefully worded, is read through whatever emotional state the recipient is in at that moment. A video call gives both of you tone, facial expression, and the ability to respond in real time. Feedback by email or message should be reserved for straightforward positive observations, never for anything requiring nuance or correction. Schedule with care. In a remote environment, an unexpected call request creates immediate anxiety. Give the other person at least a few hours' notice for a feedback conversation and tell them the general purpose. I want to catch up on how the project presentation went. This is not softening. It is courtesy that reduces defensive barriers before the conversation starts. Build in more listening time. Remote conversations carry more cognitive load. Silences feel longer. Responses can be slower. Give the other person more space to think and respond than you would in person, and resist the urge to fill pauses with more words. Follow up in writing. After a remote feedback conversation, send a brief written summary of what was discussed and what was agreed. In person, you can rely on shared memory of the room. At a distance, a short written record protects both parties and keeps the agreed path forward clear. When your team's communication happens across screens and time zones, the quality of your feedback skills matters even more. Best practices for virtual meeting communication gives further guidance on keeping difficult conversations clear across distance. The core process does not change, only the execution does. Common mistakes to avoid when giving constructive feedback. Let me tell you about the mistakes I see most often. I have made most of them myself. The mistake: saving up small issues and delivering them all at once. Why it happens: avoidance feels easier in the moment, and over time the list grows until it feels impossible to ignore. What to do instead? Address issues as they arise. A short, specific conversation about one thing is far less damaging than a long, overdue reckoning about everything. The mistake: framing observations as questions to soften them. Why it happens: we want to seem fair, so we phrase the observation as, "Do you think you might have," instead of stating what we saw. What to do instead? State the observation directly. Questions that are really statements are confusing, and they erode the other person's confidence in what is actually happening. The mistake: giving feedback in front of others, even casually. Why it happens: it feels efficient, or the moment seems right, or it appears minor enough not to matter. What to do instead? Always find a private space. What feels minor to you may feel deeply exposing to the other person. The mistake: moving straight to solutions without listening first. Why it happens: the discomfort of having delivered the feedback creates urgency to resolve it and move on quickly. What to do instead? Ask an open question after stating the impact, then wait. The other person's response will often change the solution you are about to propose. The mistake: using feedback conversations as a place to correct multiple issues at once. Why it happens: the calendar is full, and this feels like an opportunity to address everything while you have their attention. What to do instead? Focus on one issue per conversation. If there are multiple concerns, prioritize the most urgent and schedule a separate time for the others. These are not character flaws. They are gaps in the system. Fix the system. Your practical checklist for giving constructive feedback. Use this checklist before you begin and after each cycle. I have identified the specific behavior I am addressing, not a general feeling or impression. I can name the concrete impact of that behavior on the team project or relationship. I have chosen a private setting where the conversation will not be overheard or interrupted. I've picked a time when both of us are reasonably calm and not rushed. I know how I will open the conversation directly, clearly, and without excessive softening. I have prepared my observation in behavioral language, not character language. I have an open question ready to invite the other person's perspective after I state the impact. I have thought about what a realistic, specific path forward might look like. I plan to confirm the agreed next step aloud before the conversation ends. I have scheduled or noted a follow-up to check in after 2 weeks. If you cannot check most of these, that is your starting point. Summary and next steps. You now have a clear working structure for giving constructive feedback that protects the relationship, lands the message, and leads to genuine change. That is not a small thing. Most people spend years in workplaces never mastering this one skill. Preparation is the difference between feedback that helps and feedback that harms. Know the behavior, the impact, and the intended outcome before you begin. The setting and timing of feedback are part of the message itself, not logistical details. Describe what you observed, not what you assumed or felt. Specific behaviors give the other person something real to work with. Name the impact clearly, then stop and listen before you move toward solutions. Agree on a specific, concrete path forward and follow up to show you meant it. Remote feedback requires extra structure. Use video, give notice, send a written summary afterward. Consistency builds trust. A person who receives regular, fair feedback from you will stop fearing the conversation and start valuing it. If you want to take this further, how to give feedback that strengthens team synergy instead of breaking it shows how individual feedback conversations connect to the health of the whole team. When feedback conversations become difficult or heated, the skills in how to handle conflict during meetings will help you stay grounded. And if you want to structure the follow-up conversation as a proper development plan, how to run productive meetings that don't waste time, and meeting facilitation skills for managers give you the tools to do exactly that. The courage to give constructive feedback honestly and to do it well is one of the most respectful things you can offer another person. Give it to them. Frequently asked questions. What does it mean to give constructive feedback? To give constructive feedback means to share honest observations about someone's work or behaviour in a way that is specific, respectful, and focused on improvement. It avoids personal attacks and instead targets actions, giving the other person something clear they can act on. How do you give constructive feedback without upsetting someone? Prepare before the conversation, focus on specific behaviours rather than character, and choose a private setting. Use clear language, acknowledge effort where it is genuine, and give the other person space to respond. The goal is clarity, not confrontation. What is the best way to give constructive feedback at work? The best way to give constructive feedback at work is to use a consistent structure to describe what you observed, explain the impact, and agree on a path forward. Keep the tone direct and respectful. Avoid vague language and never deliver feedback in front of others. Why is giving constructive feedback so difficult? Most people fear how the other person will react. Without a clear framework, feedback becomes personal and emotional rather than practical. The absence of preparation, structure, and confidence turns a simple observation into a conversation that feels threatening for both parties. How often should you give constructive feedback to a team member? Give constructive feedback as close to the relevant event as possible, not saved up for a formal review. Regular, small feedback conversations build trust and make correction normal. Waiting too long makes feedback feel like an ambush and gives problems time to grow. What should you never say when giving feedback? Avoid saying "you always" or "you never" because these generalizations trigger defensiveness and shut down listening. Do not compare the person to others, and never deliver critical feedback in public. Keep your language specific, present tense, and focused on the work, not the person. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.